Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Claire Evans' baby has been born, and her good friends Betty and Bob are rejoicing with her over her tiny son. At the moment, Bob has dismissed from his mind the fact that someone got into the business office of the Trumpet last night and broke into the confidential files. Nothing was removed, and Betty and Bob have yet to find out what this mysterious event means. Now, however, Betty and Bob have just finished looking at Claire's newborn baby in the nursery and are entering Claire's room.
Hello, Claire.
Betty.
How are you, Claire?
I'm fine, Bob. I didn't think you two would come back anymore today.
Well, you have very strange thoughts. How are you feeling?
Wonderful.
Good.
Well, we just saw the baby.
Oh, they brought him in to me about an hour ago. Isn't he the funniest looking thing?
Funny? He's very handsome.
Handsome? With a tiny wrinkled face?
No. Don't underrate your own son, Claire.
I'm not sure that he's the right baby.
What?
So you'd better explain yourself.
Oh, he's so different from the one they showed me this morning.
Well, babies change every minute at this stage.
It's quite bewildering. I'm not at all sure.
You don't have to worry, Claire. He's been footprinted and earmarked.
A mistake is impossible.
Well, I've read of mistakes.
But you'll never read about this one. You're sure you're feeling all right, dear?
Oh, yes. And look at all the flowers I've got.
Yeah, I noticed. It's quite a vulgar display.
Seems that everybody remembered me.
What did you expect, darling?
Flowers from your mother and from Chet Andrews, Margaret Jamerson, Dr. Carlton, and the Trumpet staff, Sam Carter, and from Dick and Judy.
Not from Dick and Judy.
Yes.
Oh, my.
I suppose you're going to tell me you don't know anything about it.
Not a thing.
Yes, those year-and-a-half-old babies went down to the flower shop hand-in-hand and bought me those beautiful yellow roses.
A couple of precocious kids.
I'm really very happy.
Of course you are, darling. And so are we.
Hey, Claire, well, what's this over here? Chrysanthemums from Martin Anderson, huh?
Oh, I'm afraid so.
Don't be so surprised, Bob. Martin Anderson may be your enemy, but he's a very gracious enemy.
Oh, if they annoy you, Baba, I'll ask the nurse to remove them.
No. Don't be silly. Matter of fact, they're very pretty flowers.
Have you had any other visitors, Claire?
Just your mother. They're not allowing anybody else until tomorrow.
I I hope Mother behaved herself.
Well, she was so excited, she could hardly talk. I was very glad to see her.
You know, come to think of it, you and Mother have been together almost all the time these last few months.
Yes, I've never had a closer friend. Eddie.
Yes, dear.
Did you speak to Dr. Chapman?
This morning.
Did you ask him about the baby?
Ask him what?
Is the baby perfect?
Perfectly perfect.
Yep. Oh. 10 fingers, 10 toes, pair of beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, all babies' eyes are blue. They change, but then they mightn't.
No?
Hal's eyes were blue.
Yes, dear.
I wonder how much he'll be like Hal.
Couldn't pick a better model.
Hal. Harold. Do you think I ought to call my baby that?
It's a lovely name. Child Harold.
Or Prince Hal.
And I guess that's my baby's name.
A good job, quickly done.
I'm sure there was never any doubt of it in your mind, Claire.
If it was a boy. Bob.
Hmm? Yes, what is it, Claire?
I've got a feeling, and I had it before I went to the hospital. Are you in any kind of trouble?
I'm a newspaper publisher. I'm always in trouble.
No. No, this is something special. You laugh and smile, but both of you are... You're terribly restless about something.
We've made you restless by staying too long.
No, you haven't.
I think we have, dear. Dr. Chapman would be angry with us if we stayed any longer. Come on, Bob. We've got to drop in at the office before we go home, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll see you early tomorrow morning, Claire. And when you see your baby, Hal, again. Don't worry if he seems different.
Despite her great happiness, Claire sensed the worry that Betty and Bob are unable to conceal entirely in their voices. Bob cannot take from his mind the thoughts and speculations as to who rummaged through the confidential files of the Trumpet. Although nothing was taken, reports on the Trumpet's financial condition apparently were examined. Who did this and for what purpose? Naturally, Bob's suspicions turned toward Martin Anderson, Monroe's ruthless and corrupt political boss. And now we join Anderson as he enters his private office with quickened stride and with a smile that disappears as he sees his young henchman, Hap Davis, sitting in his office.
Hello, boss.
Now, what are you doing here, Hap?
Waiting for you.
People who want to see me usually wait outside.
Nah, I don't like waiting outside. Makes me feel like I don't amount to anything.
Did my secretary stop you?
Yeah, I told her it was okay. And since she's seen the two of us together so much, she figured it was okay.
Well, it isn't.
Why not?
You're not that good yet, Hap.
But I'm learning fast.
That's your trouble. You want to know more than the teacher.
You blame me?
No. But I can stop you.
Okay, don't get mad. Because if you're mad, I'll get out of here and knock on the door, and then you can let me in.
I don't know why, Hap. But I admire your nerve.
So you're pretty chipper about something, boss.
You bet I am.
Don't tell me it's got anything to do with Evelyn Lewis.
No, I haven't even seen her today.
I don't think you ever ought to see her.
You're wrong, Hap. She's cute, and she might come in handy yet.
Yeah, I'll give you 10-1 against that. But that isn't what you're so happy about.
Oh, no, not by a long shot. You see, I found out something today.
Yeah? Something good?
Very exciting.
You gonna tell me?
Sure, I'm gonna tell you. You can probably be of a lot of assistance.
Oh, I'm not a bad guy to have around.
I got some information, Hap.
About the Drake?
Yes. About our good friends, Betty and Bob Drake.
Real bad news?
Yes. The kind of news they wish I didn't have.
What's it about?
Well, you see, a couple of nights ago, Humbert and I were talking about the Trumpet. And Humbert knows a lot about newspapers.
So when am I going to meet him?
Well, take your time, Hap.
Well, he's the big boss. He runs the whole state. I'd like to meet him.
Well, take it easy, Hap. In your present stage of development, he wouldn't go for you.
Okay. Well, what'd you figure out about the Trumpet?
Well, Humbert decided the Trumpet couldn't be doing very well. Financially, I mean. It takes a lot of money to keep a newspaper going until it gets entrenched.
So what?
Well, Humbert figured with all it cost the Drake so far, they might be in a hole.
Oh, hard up for dough, eh?
That's right. So we decided to take a look at their latest financial report.
And it was punk.
It was awful. Well, here we've been trying to drive a guy out of the newspaper business with strong-arm stuff when the business has been dying all by itself.
You mean we've been wasting a lot of time and effort?
I'm afraid so, Hap.
You mean all we got to do is sit back and wait?
Well, no. I think we can help matters along a bit.
You do?
Sure. You see, whatever we think about Betty and Bob, they're pretty resourceful people. They don't make the mistake of thinking we're stupid. And they've got a lot of fight in them. I've got to give them credit for that.
I don't.
Well, after all, they know what a tough financial spot they're in. And they're not going to go under without putting up a terrific battle.
But they're going to go under.
I don't know. They might find some angel to help them along, some idealistic millionaire.
Yeah.
And if they do, they might pull through.
Hmm. Well, what can we do to prevent that?
Oh, I've got an idea, Hap. A pretty good idea. In fact, it's one of the best ideas I've ever had.
So, Martin Anderson has discovered the financial plight of the Trumpet. But what is this idea he is so enthusiastic about? You can rest assured it involves a plan to hasten the ruin of the Trumpet, to end as soon as possible the threat of Betty and Bob to his and Walter Humboldt's corrupt grip on the city of Monroe. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.